Blog Talk Radio.
Your destiny, rise, rise, rise.
Welcome to the Inner Consciousness. I am your host, Reverend Harvey L. Bailey, with the extended version of my theme song. So today, we are going to be talking about how to accomplish anything you want in life. And my guest today is Mr. Amir Otto Price III. Amir.
Blessings.
How are you,
you,
brother?
I am recovering well from all that was supposed to take me out. Somehow my desire to live outweighed anybody else's desire for me not to.
All right. Well, with that said, we've got some people who may not know. If you don't mind, how about you share a little bit about that? Because that'll take us right into what we're talking about, accomplishing anything you want in life.
Okay, I would look forward to that.
All right.
My life transitions seem to have been very powerfully done. It seemed like it was coming undone. When I thought I was on top of my life world in 2008, 2009, all of a sudden, life happened, finances went tanking, and I was in all kinds of trouble, losing everything, only because I didn't really realize what it was that I had. When I found out what I had wasn't founded on something that I really truly believed in, then that was the beginning of trouble.
Okay.
I went, filed bankruptcy, had to move out of the luxury lifestyle that I was accustomed to, and then once I was adjusting to that, on come the obviously health issues that I was avoiding. All of a sudden, now they're here full force. December 31st, 2009, I had a massive heart attack that landed me in Aiken Memorial Hospital with an intravenous IV, with an IV in each arm of nitrogen, keeping my heart calm enough so that they could determine what's going on. So after 7 days in ICU and starting to recover, everything's going great, a week later, stroke. Okay. At that point, I said, look, God, I got too much to do, and this is not enough time for me to get it done in, so I'm going to need some more time. So he granted me a stay of execution, and I went to a rehab center for an elaborate 13 months and began to recover the ability to walk, talk, and function again. Get home in the amazing month of June 2011, and, of course, that was the end of everything. I thought I had money. Because, as you know, rehabs are not inexpensive, and they're not free until you're flat broke. Well, now that I'm flat broke, I get home, and now I'm able to start rebuilding. I thought, okay, how do I financially put my life back together? That was my first goal. Now that my health is restored, so I thought, I started working on some projects to start reestablishing myself. Harvey, it's now June of 2012, and my doctor says, you know, your kidneys are failing because you're swelling up in places you shouldn't be swelling. So therefore, we're going to have to start dialysis on you as soon as possible. I said, excuse me? Yeah, we're going to start dialysis on you July 2nd. 2012, I started doing dialysis. And every sense of the word dialysis, I was one miserable puppet.
Wow.
But then I said, you know what? I'm still alive. And I still have hope as long as I got breath. I saw my life start to get better. I was jogging and swimming and just doing all the things that I desired to do to keep myself lifted in high consciousness. Along comes a accident in October. I was jogging, and my right leg gave out. And, of course, when you're jogging and your leg give out, you and the gravity of the earth comes real close friends.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God there was nobody around. I was, more specifically, no females around because I didn't want to have to explain, you fall down? No, I was just picking some grass. So, but nobody was around. I got myself back up, and the only problem was I was on the 5-mile track and only go from halfway to 5 mile track back to my starting point was to go across a 75-foot mound of dirt, a hill. That wasn't going to happen. So I went ahead and finished the 5 mile track just in time to crash into my car.
Wow.
And it was like, I don't know what's going on. And I laid on the ground for about a good 5 minutes to get into the car and get myself together and saw that I had a couple of scrapes on me. I said, okay, maybe there's something going on. I need to get it checked out. So instead of going to the hospital, I went home. I went home to shower because I'd just been jogging and I was kind of stinking. So I went to clean up and everything was great in the shower. I get out the shower and walk across the bedroom to the closet or to the dresser, and I fell. I crumbled. I didn't fall. Everything gave out, so I went straight down. And it took me a half an hour to get off the floor onto the bed. Only problem was, once I got on the bed, I was so exhausted, I couldn't roll over to the other side of the bed to get the phone. It was a wake-up call that told me that having Guillain-Barré, first of all, Guillain-Barré is a very rare African-American disease. The number of African-Americans that get it, they look at them and says, okay, this is too rare, first of all, and it's double rare that you got it. Well, I was a triple rare. I'm got a permanent tan, and I'm that kind of like this Simmons 8, but I'm also under 65 years old. As a matter of fact, at that time, I was just turning 50. So they couldn't understand that at that point. So they were really scratching their heads on how a African-American male under the age of 50 gets a 65-year-old white man's disease. They found that difficult to explain.
Okay.
So I spent the next 146 days in the hospital attempting to get an explanation as well as get recovered, because in that time period, I lost a total of 68 pounds of flesh, of muscle. I went from a whopping, I was a little bit morbidly obese, so it was okay, but I'm 6'2", and at that time, I was 195 pounds, went down to 128 pounds.
Mm.
And at 128 pounds, and you're 6'2", there's not a whole lot you can do and call yourself active. Couldn't walk, couldn't raise my hand to remove a fly from my forehead, but most importantly, because my head muscle or face muscle had depleted, it took me an hour to eat a hamburger patty. Not the burger, not the bun, the lettuce, tomatoes, and pickles, all that you put on a burger. That would have been another hour, just the meat. And then if I didn't mind, by the time I got to the end of the hour or the last bite, it was cold. So I didn't eat that much. But it was difficult to be on a 2,100-calorie diet per meal to combat this aggressive weight loss.
Okay. And, well, I want to move you along a little faster because I want you to get to the point where you're telling us how you got to where you are now and kind of what you use. You know, what was your mindset like? What, you know, because we want to talk about how to accomplish anything. So we want to get to where you are, your triumph.
That would be the awesome part. Doing all the restructuring, I stumbled across something that I heard many, many years ago. This guy said to me, you can't lose the stuff I use. And I'm like, okay, what is he using? And I started looking at the likes of Reverend Ike, Bishop E. Bernard Jordan, looking at Deepak Chopra, looking at all the conscious thinkers or speakers around the world and listening to them and realizing, wait a minute, they're saying a lot of the same thing. So the secret is you start applying these things and things will start to transfer for you or transform for you because your mindset says this is what it's supposed to be because this is what I said it's got to be. And if it's what I say, then it's what has to happen. My restoration of health started coming back into on a fast pace to where I went from coming home at 135 pounds to where now, it's 2015, I weigh 174 pounds.
All right.
Right. And they're stable, 174 pounds. I know that's not a lot for a lot of people, but we're looking back talking about a walking skeleton to now I got a little bit of meat on me. I ain't got no junk in my trunk, but hey, that comes with the package. But looking at the health benefits, and then I started finding the transformation of my spirit, man. That began in February got its massive dose of focus in February when I was introduced to the Boost family with Reverend Valerie Love, okay, doing the 150-day psalm-a-day challenge. Mm-hmm. I learned tons in those 150 days that I've learned in the past 15 years. And to apply what I learned gave me more than I could have ever asked or thought possible. For instance, in this 150-day challenge of finding out what love is, I found out that there was a wealth manifestation consciousness that I signed up for, this class. And the very first day, we talked about what manifestation looks like, what it tastes like, what it smells like, and how it will change your life immediately.
So what does it look like? What does it smell like? What does it taste like? How can it change your life?
Well, let's go there.
Great. Okay.
It first of all, it's you. You are the only thing that can tell me what that feels like, because what it feels like to me, you can't see that.
Okay.
For instance, it doesn't look right to you. It doesn't look the same. If I tell you to go buy a luxury watch and you come back with a Rolex, that's luxury to you.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking more like a pennant. And that's outside of the realm of that luxury. Or I tell you to go buy a luxury car that's going to identify luxury for you. You're going to get the baddest Cadillac they got.
No, I'm not. It's going to be a Ferrari.
Oh,
but go ahead.
There you go. There you go. And to me, I'm thinking more about the Maybach. You know, just because I like the spaciousness of it. Wait a minute. I didn't say I was going to drive it. That wasn't the thing. I said, go get one. So that's the different consciousness of what you feel is the excellence or opulence that you want to experience. The other thing, go buy the house of your dreams, and you go find the baddest 4-bedroom, 3.5-bath, 4-car garage on 15 acres of land near the lake, and boom, you good. Oh, did I say there was only 4,000 square foot in the house? Boom, you're really good. You are so happy. But then you come and ask me, and all of a sudden you pull up the Castle Grayskull. What
the heck? So basically what you're saying is it's an individual thing.
It's an individual thing. And as an individual thing, you got to be willing to know, first of all, this is your conscious conversation with yourself as God. I know I shouldn't say that out loud. I know.
Nah,
I'm
you actually
radio.
Should. You need to say that out loud, because I'm going to ask you, what if I don't know myself as God? And you got to be bold enough to come back with that answer. So you should say that out loud. People need to hear it.
Well, I know that you know that. I know that you know that already based upon one thing.
What's that?
What you did today that you desire to do totally for you, and nobody else had to be involved with it. If you said, I love my job, but I wish I had my own business, then you're not walking in the consciousness that you are God. Because he says the desires of your heart is what you get. Somewhere we missed the boat in that.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling a young lady today, I said, you know what the real challenge is? Most people don't know who they are. It's like being an orphan. You're an orphan in a very nice orphanage. They treat you nice. But sometimes, every now and then, because you don't know your lineage, you show out and you act like a plum fool. So one day, the principal comes to you and says, look, this is what we found on you, and this is who we believe you are. And all of a sudden, you see royalty laid out before you. Do you go back and become a scallywag and still tatter room up when you get finished with that conversation? Or do you go in and you become exactly who you know you are by whose you are?
You become who you are.
Okay.
You step
and
up.
All of a sudden, everything changes. Everything changes. So with that conversation, you are now ready to say, because I know I'm royalty, I must behave accordingly, because now I can start generating and reverberating that energy to come in, and all of a sudden, royalty shows up, pick me up, and take me back to the castle. I was just orphaned by mistake. However, that's where we are, as what Psalm 82 and 6 say. Psalm 82 and 6 says simple, you are God.
Say that one more time.
And Psalm 82 and 6, I know I shouldn't be quoting the Bible because I'm not a professional expert yet. I'm working on it, But 82 and 6 says, you are God and children of the Most High. We don't get that conversation from other who are telling us who we are, because they haven't come to understanding and knowledge of who they are. So now all you have is a blind man leading a blind man to go watch a movie.
So I want to stop you right there. If we are ordering the steps on how to accomplish anything you want in life, step one would be knowing that you are God.
Know that you are God.
And all things are possible through Christ who strengthens me.
All things are possible.
Okay. All right.
Now,
so go ahead. Go ahead.
You got that. You know that. Now that you know who you are, what are you? As a God, you know that everything I think and say will manifest. Now look at your life currently and tell me that somebody else did that. I mean, convince me that somebody else did that. Now, if you can convince me they did that, I'm going to take away the first step that, you know, hey, that was a misnomer.
Okay. So
however,
do you say to the person who comes with the super sob story? You know, I never had a chance. You know, both of my parents were drug addicts or alcoholics. I grew up in the inner city. It was gang ridden. I had no choice but to enter a gang. It was either enter a gang or end up dead, so I chose a gang. You know, I didn't want to have to hurt people, but it was a part of the initiation. And the story just goes on and on and on and on and on. So what do you say to them?
So then we get Tariq Gibson, Denzel Washington, Spike Lee, we get Wesley Snipes. I mean, there's not that many examples out there, but there's more than two. And I was told we get two that are witnesses, the story got to be true. So now we're still back to your choices. Even at this point, if you tell me you got all these going on, and all of a sudden you tell me, but I got a business plan. Let me tell you about my business plan. Matter of fact, and pull out of his pocket, rolled up notebook. Here it is. This is what I want to do right here. You know what you saw?
Mm-hmm.
You don't care what's going on around you. That individual, it has a dream of getting out of the situation at hand because they had the intuitiveness to write it down.
Okay. That, so I'm going to stop you right there again, because now we're going to push step two in there. So step one is knowing that you are God and that all things are possible through God. So step two is now having a dream.
Okay.
Would that be it?
That would be...
okay.
No. Not just having a dream.
Uh-huh.
Let's throw another scripture in there.
Okay.
How about Habakkuk 2 and 2?
Uh-huh.
Habakkuk 2 and 2 say, write the vision and make it plain so that when men need it, they will pick it up and run with it.
Okay. So having a clear vision and writing it out.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Because and then once you write it out, your job is to listen for an opportunity for someone to listen to you, to explain to them your vision. Have anyone ever seen Shark Tank? I mean.
Yeah.
Okay. When those people come up there, not one moment in that 3 minutes do they get to stutter. You know why? Because they saw themselves in that position so many times that they could do this blindfolded by remote control. So when you got your vision and you made it plain, now you're speaking it all the time to the right person. Because you know the other side of that God consciousness, that everything I say manifests, or better yet, life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Okay.
So I guess that will be a step three.
That will be a step three.
Okay. Now you know, you got it written down, and you're talking like you are God, it will show up. Period.
Okay.
And
right.
Now the question is, now the question is, do you have the intestinal fortitude to be patient for the manifestation to happen?
Well, that's good, because that's where I was going next. What do you say to the person who say, I've been doing this and nothing's happening?
You know, my great-grandfather was an amazing farmer. He had a beautiful 500-acre farm in North Florida, a city called Jasper. Every spring, he would go out and till over these beautiful acres, and all you saw for miles around, in my concept as a kid, it was miles around, was beautiful dirt. Every day, he'd go out there and talk to his fields every day. And all you saw was beautiful dirt. One morning after breakfast, I went flying out the back door of my great-grandmother's house and head out to play in the barn. All of a sudden, there was green. I'm like, whoa! Pump the brakes, what happened? And there was my great-grandfather standing at the edge saying, it won't be long, son. I'm like, long for what? He said, long for you really to learn what it's like to have patience. I'm like, okay, this is going to be awesome. Growing vegetables, growing fruit, if you're not exhibiting patience, you will never, ever eat. You want to grow your own fruits and vegetables, and you're not patient, then you need to go find Walmart.
Okay.
But if you want it freshly grown with the dirt that you wipe it off, and you said, I grew this myself, the pride of that, you might want to reconsider Walmart versus your own backyard. So if you don't have the patience, then you're not a dreamer. You're just a talker. Because it took patience to write it down. Mm-hmm. And not just speak and Google type it out for you. I'm talking about write it down.
Okay.
These things are necessities that if you're not doing them, you're not going to achieve them. And achievement is the only reason why why it was told to you that inside of you was given the ability to create wealth. Your job now is to tap into those sources and build on them so that you as God can produce what God's side dream can be in this time. I have a dream. And no, it's not on top of a mountain to see little white boys and little white girls standing together hand in hand with little black girls. And little
That's
black
not
boys.
Your dream?
No. No. I'm looking for little kids. I'm looking for grown people who want to make a difference in our community. That's going to do things that are going to invoke nothing but passionate change in their lives. I'm excited to know that my life is about to achieve my dreams, my own dreams to come true.
Okay.
My own dreams to have the opportunity to show my four lovely children what it's like to achieve something and to be awesomely excited to help somebody else achieve theirs. There was a gentleman who wrote a book, you help enough people achieve theirs, you will get anything you desire as well. I think his name was Art Williams.
Was it Art Williams?
Yeah. I think it was Art Williams who wrote that book.
Okay.
Helping pushing up people is Art Williams. No, that wasn't it. But that was the concept of you help enough people get what their desires.
Yeah,
their
I thought that was
are.
Og Mandino in The Greatest Salesman. But okay.
Yeah, that was a great book too. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. Okay, so now after you put some patience in, well, we got four steps. What would be next?
Now, while you're having patience, what do you do? How about learn how to manage all sources of income? When you know how to handle $100, $100,000, it's pretty much the same thing. I know it's a difference. It's a difference. There's a couple of zeros missing. I know that. However, this is a concept that everybody who is conscious will know. How you do anything is how you do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that $100,000 means exactly the same management skills that the $100,000 did. Let's take a couple more zeros. That $10 million goes into the exact same consciousness as the $100 did. Now, take another couple more zeros. We're talking about $1 billion. $1 billion. And people don't have the consciousness to know what to do with $100,000. So $1 billion would blow their mind.
True.
But that's only because those five steps were not administered to. They went from, I'm nobody, I'm just a nobody. No. Hell no. I am God. You know how I know that? Because it told me, I think it was in Psalms 43 and 10, be still and know
I am
that
God.
I am God.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that was talking in third-party principles of conversation. That wasn't you talking. That was somebody back in the old days. That was them talking in the stead of God. No. That's you talking. And your mouth said, be still, meaning stop, look, listen, and know I'm God. Now that I know that I'm God, I got things I got to do to show the rest of the world that you've got to be something special. Because this patience that you have exceeds anything I've ever seen in my life. And you're telling me you're just an ordinary man? I don't buy that. You're telling me you have five houses and five different countries and you're an ordinary man? No, I don't see that. You're telling me that your children are living life to the fullest and living it with grace and purity and honesty? No, you can't be average. You've got to be something extraordinary. Well, you are. You've realized you tapped into I am that I am.
Okay. Now, I want to stop you there, and I want to take what you've said so far, those four steps and everything that you've said after that, ending with I am that I am. Break that down with using the law of attraction. Explain how that plays into the law of attraction.
Harvey, you're really dancing around the edge on this, aren't you? Okay, I got you. I see where you're going, and I'm going there right now.
All right. Straight out.
All right. I know that you and I are both over 40 years old.
Mm-hmm. I'm a day or two over.
A day or two. Do you remember Chaka Khan?
Oh, yeah.
In her glory days.
Mm-hmm. With Rufus or
and
when she left Rufus?
Both.
Okay.
She was, in our mind, she was hot, brick house, fine.
Mm-hmm.
She could have been on the Ohio Player cover every day of the week. Okay? You were there with me, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. No matter how many times I said, ooh, I want to go out with her. I want to marry her. What I didn't understand was that who I was didn't attract the Chaka Khan.
What? You didn't attract Chaka Khan?
No,
a suave, debonair dude like you? Say it ain't so.
No, because what I was wasn't what she was. I was never going to attract plastic being hot metal.
Okay.
Or vice versa. I was never going to attract glass being wood. Only thing that attracts itself is itself. Money only attracts money. Yeah, there are other things that come with it, but the first thing it attracts is money. Money is indigenous of itself. It doesn't make nothing but more money, period. Yeah, it creates other things, but it makes money. Well, to get that type of love in my life, I was missing some very, very, very crucial parts. How about loving myself enough to know myself, enough to love myself even more? I missed loving me. God got to love himself. Otherwise, God would go out and do more destruction than to shake a stick at. And now what you got? You got total mayhem and utter destruction. That's what has started happening in most of our lives. And somehow we were able to say, okay, maybe I need to back my dream up just a little bit, because that's a little bit out there and a little bit further than I know I have the capability of attracting, because I'm not really ready to work on myself to attract exactly that I desire. And in the conversation we've been having, note that I've been keeping away from two other words specifically, want and need.
Oh, okay.
I stay away from what I want and stay away from my needs, because I heard this conscience that says, the 23rd Psalm says it pretty clearly. You know, we always talk about the things we don't want to break. We don't want to break any of God's laws. Well, the very first verse says, if the Lord is my shepherd, then you should not want. Stop. Listen. If I say you're my shepherd, then what am I doing wanting? Everything that I want is already provided to me. Okay, let's go to the next word. Then it says, all of my needs are supplied according to his riches and glory. Okay, I can't do want. I can't do needs. What can I do? According to the scripture, it says, what are your desires? I will give you the desires of your heart. I don't know. I need you to tell me what's the desires of your heart, because you're going to say, I desire a car, and I put a Geo in your front yard. You're going to like,
well,
I was hoping for a real car. I wasn't hoping for a skateboard with doors. I was wanting a car. You didn't tell me what kind of car.
Right.
You
weren't specific.
I desire a Lexus, and I want that Lexus LS400 to be like this, this, and this, and this. Now when it shows up at yard, you're like, oh, wow, thank you, God, for giving me exactly what I desire.
Okay.
So that's not just for a car. That's for every item in your existence.
But now I want to take you back. I want to take you back because I want a solid answer on how does all that apply to the law, or, you know, how does all that pertain to the law of attraction?
Law of attraction. Okay, the law of attraction is simply this.
Mm-hmm.
You can only attract what you are.
There we go. There it is.
What you are will attract to you. Now, if somehow you keep getting busted and disgusted people in your life, stop, take a quick look, and listen. What are you?
Okay, obviously,
if
somewhere you busted and disgusted.
I'm so glad you're here, Harvey. I want the audience to still like me when this is over. You okay? You can be here next week. I want to walk down the street and say, I heard what you said, and all of a sudden I got to start ducking and hiding. But no, I'm good about that. So if you are getting something in your life that you keep getting over and over and over again, stop. Look at where it's coming from. It's coming from within you. The only thing wrong with all your relationships is one common denominator. You. Unless you went to the same person over and over again, then both of y'all are crazy.
Well, you might just happen to like that person so much you can't seem to be without them, no matter how hard it is to make it work. You just want to go back.
And after the hospital stay and the jail stay, all of a sudden you go back. That's a little too much drama for me.
Isn't that the definition of crazy, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result?
Well, I think that's what Einstein said. But, you know, I started listening to this. Oh, this amazing, amazing prophetess was singing this song.
Mm-hmm.
She was singing this song called No More Drama.
Uh-huh.
I believe her.
Would that prophetess be Mary J?
That prophetess would be Mary J. Yes, yes, yes. And if anybody have anything to say about the prophetess, talk to me. I'll let you know right straight. But hold on.
Uh-huh.
She had help. There was this amazing Reverend Dr. Michael Jackson. Reverend Dr. Michael Jackson said, I'm looking at the man in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, to change his ways, change the world.
Okay.
Now we're back to the law of attraction again.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Let's go here. You have someone who just seems to be attracting all the wrong stuff in their life. And they will tell you they're doing everything right, but they don't know why they keep attracting all the wrong stuff. You know, they get up in the morning, they pray, they exercise, they brush and flush their teeth. You know, they get clean, they put on, you know, freshly pressed clothes, they go off
wait,
to
wait,
work.
Hold on, hold on. You said they get up and they play and exercise?
They pray.
Okay.
Yeah, they pray, then they exercise. They go off to work. You know, they're like the best employee. They show up on time always.
Mm-hmm.
They work hard when everybody else is goofing off, laughing and joking. They're right there doing their job. You know, they go to lunch. They come back from lunch on time when other people just come in whenever they come in. You know, and at the end of the day, if there's work that needs to be done, they're willing to stick around. But then they go home and, you know, they have friends. And, you know, their friends are so-so, you know, and they have a active social life, but it's just like nothing seems to be working. You know, the friends they have, you can't count on them. You know, they always lying, and they show up only when they want something. You know, you may go out on Friday night, and they good during happy hour, but when happy hour ends, it's like, can you pay for this drink for me? I got you next time. And next time ain't came in 5 years. And, you know, so you looking for a better crowd. You know, you figure you a better person than this. Why you're dealing with this? And then, you know, in your social life, you're out, you're dating, but the people you run into, they just seem to bring all the wrong qualities to the table. And it's like, there's no good men or women out there. So what do you say to the person that's living their life like that? You know, they're trying to live like they're golden, but everything around them seems like it's molded.
You mean spray paint?
They might need to put some spray paint on all the mold.
Well, let's start with the very first thing you said.
Uh-huh. That they wake up
or
that they pray?
Well, they don't wake up. They just start to pray.
They wake up and they pray.
No. They get out of the bed.
Okay.
They're not awake.
Okay.
You said this was going to be a conscious conversation, right?
Okay. All right.
Okay. When consciousness come into play, that's where you wake up. Not when the alarm clock gets up and you meander out the bed and fall on your knees and you start saying the Our Father's prayer. But you know, I heard someone say this morning, and I had to stop her because it was profound, and she said it out loud. She says, I pray the Lord's Prayer all the time, and I can't wait to get to heaven. I said, excuse me? She said, I pray the Lord's Prayer all the time, and I'm looking forward to going to heaven. I said, how are you going to do that? She says, dying and go to be with God. I'm like, sweetie, no, come here. You pray the Lord's Prayer. Is there a part in that scripture or that verse that says something about heaven being here on earth? If that's not true, or if that is true, and you're talking about dying to go somewhere else, why would anybody in the right mind give it to you here when you're going to die and go somewhere else? That makes no sense to me. And she goes, huh? I said, look, heaven is inside of you, just like hell is right next door inside of you. So what you mean? I said, you have two children, and right now your two children are living with their father, and every day you're very miserable. Let's call that hell. This past weekend, your baby came running through the house and slammed into your bosom and said, Mama, I love you. And before I could say anything, this gorgeous smile popped on her face. I said, looks like heaven to me. See, your job is to learn where heaven is and stay out of hell. Heaven is right where you are. That's the beginning of establishing heaven later. Because you know what it feels like, looks like, tastes like now. See, we've been told that heaven was after we die. So therefore, we spend our entire life struggling and striving for something that's never going to happen, not even happy about the job we got. We're content, but not happy. We work, but we grumble. We work overtime, but we grumble. We grumble about the check we got because it took extra taxes out. We grumble about everything, but yet we say we are children of God. Well, I'm not certain. I gave up grumbling for a higher consciousness, because in that higher consciousness, I saw God in everything. That's where the consciousness of the conscious mind, or shall I say the awakened mind, mm-hmm. goes. He goes inside. He goes within, so he won't go without. We do these things on a static basis so that we are now developing the consciousness that says, that man, that woman is what I want to emulate my life out of and become an exact copy of what they're doing. Maybe not exact copy, but so close you won't be able to tell the difference. There's another God, there's another God, there's another God, or to be politically correct, there's a God, there's a goddess, there's a God, there's a goddess. We are here to invoke change in the world.
Okay, and so I want to bring you back. I want to bring you back because I want to make sure our listeners are clear. So what you're saying is, with the example that I gave, that this person is not conscious.
Not awake. Well, I want to use your word, wake up.
Spike Lee's word, wake up.
There you go.
Okay.
And we don't even, we can see the symbolism in that movie. He's saying wake up.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see what's really going on. And we still thought, man, that was a great movie. You big dummy. Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Well, you know, we were talking about good and bad hair, you know, so, you know.
If it stuck to your head, it's good. If it fell off, it's good and gone. It's good, it's good, it's good. Now, just go on with your life and work on the rest of your body.
All right, so since we're running out of time, I want to ask you some questions about visualization, affirmation, other tactics to help people get their mind right, get their spirit right.
Yeah.
What do you think about those, and what are some of your favorite spiritual tools?
I live in, for lack of a better definition,
mm-hmm.
I live on the skirt of paradise. 30-minute walk from my front door, I am knee-deep in the Atlantic Ocean. The sunrise that I experience every day, watching those golden rays break through the clouds or come out of the horizon and shining on me, it looks like golden lines looking to hook into my heart to draw me into that level of opulence and abundance. Along the journey, I see magnificent homes, magnificent cars, magnificent boutiques with great, fabulous fine linen and clothing. All these things are utilized to give your eye the visual connection with your desirable connection or attractable opulence. Everything that's here is for your attainment and entertainment. If you saw it, you can have it. If you heard about it, you can have it. All you have to do is desire it, picture it, smell it, even go walk through it, test drive it, put it on. They don't charge you for that. They only charge you if you want to take it home. Isn't that a strange concept?
It's an interesting concept.
Yeah, they don't charge you to look at this stuff. They only charge you to take it with you. So if they don't charge you, what are you afraid of? Just because the belt in this store, or let's go even better, the shoes in this store, ladies, cost $700. Do they charge you to walk in $700? No. Do they charge you $700 to even try them on? No. They are so excited that you just might be the one today that will walk out with that pair of shoes that they fell in love with. They live for that moment. Same thing with that Bentley dealership. They live for the moment for you to come and kick the tires and smell the leather and actually let's go for a test ride. Knowing good and well your credit is so jacked up you couldn't possibly buy the keys for this car. But nevertheless, you're getting a visual of what can happen. Now, you got the feel, you got it in your blood. It's like getting a blood transfusion because you're now, every time you close your eyes, you feel the leather around the steering wheel. Or even better, you close your eyes and you walk through the door of that magnificent mansion. Or you now you know you got your clothers come to the house with rolls and rolls of fabric to fit you for a suit. You're feeling all this. It's now that much closer to attainment. So you want to visualize, you got to get off your butt and go do something other than drink.
Okay.
You got to go taste it, feel it, touch it. You got to. Otherwise, it's just talk.
And what
right
about
now,
affirmation?
I don't think they don't have that thing called smell-o-vision yet. You can't smell a thing on TV.
No. So what about affirmations?
Well, the affirmation comes along with knowing that you are God and knowing that every time you say whatever you're going to say, it is a manifestation. But the most powerful affirmation that I've come into contact with has been The Oath Manifestation by Dr. Reverend Michael Beckwith.
Which
powerful.
Is?
Powerful. The Oath Manifestation?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I get opportunity to read out loud. Oh,
you do? You do.
Now, what I have learned to do was that my posture, how I present myself as I say this, remember, I'm God, and whatever I say, I will have. So then I say, I accept and receive unexpected good, unexpected money, unexpected love, unexpected kindness, unexpected generosity, unexpected offers, unexpected prosperity, coming in unexpected ways from unexpected places in my life and the life of others. I am constantly guided and boldly empowered to receive the lavish abundance of the universe. I accept the principle that abundance and prosperity have already been given to me. My acceptance makes it real and opens the space for manifestation to rush in. I open wide the doors of my consciousness to receive and to give and state that it is done now. But through this oath of manifestation, all things are possible. I declare absolutely that I live in a friendly universe that is always providing for me. I feel it powerfully happening now. I open to receive more abundance and to give more abundance than I've ever experienced before. Coup de grace. I can afford anything I desire. In fact, I'm so prosperous, I need never worry again. However, I'm grateful for all that I already have and grateful for all that I'm ready to give. I keep myself lifted in high consciousness. No matter what it looks like, no matter what the appearances are, I know that God is all there is. I let the God times roll, and so it is.
Man.
I did that every day in the consciousness and the vibration of yes, this is a factual statement. I did it for a total of 150 days straight.
Mm.
And the manifestations that happened in my life blew me away. I know that this time last year, the things that I have now wasn't even on the table of consideration. The unexpected good, unexpected money, unexpected love, unexpected kindness, unexpected generosity, unexpected offers, and prosperity is overtaking me as I breathe now.
All right. Well, Amir, that is it, man. We are coming to the end of the show. I definitely want to thank you for being here today. I want to thank you for, you know, reading that prayer that you just did, that affirmation, for all the information that you gave us on how to accomplish anything you want in life, for your amazing story, man. I just want to thank you for blessing us today. And, you know, we'll get you back on the show again another time, all right?
Oh, that sounds like fun. If you promise to let me have fun like this, yeah, I'll be back.
Yeah, we're going to do it up again next time, man. All right, and so I'm going to go to this commercial right now. When I come back, I am going to do my monthly spiritual law, universal law. All right.
Awesome. Thanks, Harvey.
No problem, man. Thank you for being here.
Man, that was tight. I ain't going
nowhere. Join us here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul. Every Sunday, we start your week off right with the delightful Deletta Gillespie and Updraft. It is always an educational and informational show. Tune in on Mondays for Totally Whole with Pastor Bridget and Pastor Cook as they give you the word. Tune in on Tuesday with world famous DJ Davey D as he plays all of your old school favorites in R&B, hip hop, jazz, house, and rap. Join us every Thursday where there's something different. The first Thursday of the month, ladies, is for you. Total Empowerment with the owner of Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa, Angela Hardy. On the second Thursday of the month, join relationship coaches Reverend Arlene Cahet and Reverend Harvey L. Bailey on One Love, One Connection, One Us as they answer all of your relationship questions. On the third Thursday of the month, men, it's time to man up with our own Sacred Masculine, Reverend Jamel Gilliam and the Sacred Masculine Show. On the fourth Thursday of the month, join me, Reverend Harvey L. Bailey, in the Inner Consciousness as I talk about self-help. When we have a fifth Thursday of the month, you can join Reverend Arlene Cahet with the Healing Paradigms right here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul every week.
All right, I'm back. And this month, August, the universal law is the law of wisdom. Wisdom erases karma. If you have the wisdom to learn lessons through love and wisdom, you can mitigate your suffering. Sadly, we seem to learn the fastest through pain, through directly experiencing the consequences of our actions. As an example, you greedily take from others, and instead of learning through wisdom and love that this is wrong, you have to experience from others, someone greedily taking from you, whether later in this life or in a future lifetime. Wisdom basically means you can look at someone else's mistake and you can learn from it. You don't have to go through everything to become wise. A wise person looks at someone else, sees what they do, and make a conscious decision. I don't want the result that they got, so I'm going to do something different. To everyone out there, I hope you learned a lot with our esteemed host, Amir Otto Price III, today, and I hope you got a good understanding of wisdom. You don't have to do the wrong things. Think about it. Be conscious. Pay attention to what's going on and learn from those who are around you doing the things that you don't want to do. Find a mentor, someone who's living the life you want to live, doing the things you want to do, and find out how they did it. Well, that's my show. In 2 weeks, One Love, One Connection, One Us will be here on this station at 7 p.m. with myself and Reverend Arlene Cahet, and we are going to be talking about the cost of love. So until then, what you become is up to you. Now, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but if it's the game of life you want to win, you must take time to go within. Peace and blessings, everyone. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.